The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Many things happening in the sports world. We do have playoff baseball. We do have college football. Of course, we've got NFL football. And we are always, never at a loss for things to discuss in the sports world. And where I'm sitting, it's a beautiful day. So I don't know where you're at, but where I'm at, it is absolutely beautiful. Good morning to my tag team partner in crime, Jeff Rich. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning. It was a good morning. I've already got a morning swim in, and I'm prepared to watch some NFL football and hopefully some playoff baseball a little later on today.
Yeah, I mean, look, for the most part, the baseball stuff has been pretty awesome as far as I'm concerned. I'll be honest, I haven't checked out every game, but I have checked out several of the games so far, and you want drama, man. You're getting drama with this Major League Baseball postseason so far.
Without a question. I know that everybody wants to see all these series go five, and it's still possible, as we talk to you live at 8 a.m. Pacific on a Sunday morning, that they could all go 3-0. So I think that the best playoff baseball is yet to come, and we'll see it develop as the month of October moves on.
Yeah, and, you know, college football, somewhat uneventful. You know, we're used to seeing the upsets and everything, and now things are starting to kind of, like, be normal. And I don't know, is that boring or is that good? We'll have to figure it out. But smiling inside.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
If you or someone you care about is trapped by addiction to drugs or alcohol, then don't miss this life-changing message from the Addiction Recovery Network.
Hi, I'm Adam Weil. I'm CEO of the Addiction Recovery Network. Addiction doesn't discriminate, and treatment's not a one-size-fits-all approach. There's no cure for addiction. Addiction is a lifelong journey that people struggle with every day. We find the best treatment centers that have the full continuum of care that will ultimately give people the best chance to succeed. Dealing with an addiction is hard enough. Finding the right treatment shouldn't be. Please, if you or a loved one are struggling with addiction, don't wait till it's too late. We're here to help.
Make one of the most important calls of your life. The call is confidential and could save your life or the life of someone you love. Private insurance could cover the entire cost, so call 800-300-3388. That's 800-300-3388. 800-300-3388.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here to tell you that I love chicken and football. And now there's a perfect way to bring my two loves together by watching chicken while eating football. This Sunday, grab a KFC $20 fill-up. Now with 12 extra crispy tenders, two large mashed potatoes, a coleslaw, and four biscuits. Wait, I think I made a mistake earlier. Don't eat football, eat chicken. Sorry for the confusion. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Hey, it's me, your house talking. You know what would make me really happy? If you head to Lowe's for big savings on their Porter cable drills so you can start building your 20-volt system. They have all the torque you need to finish that project you've been putting off. You do that for me, and I'll stop peeling my wallpaper when I get bored.
Make your home happy with great deals right now at Lowe's, like up to 30% off Porter cable power tools. Valid September 26th through October 12th. Excludes accessories, U.S. only.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It's Dorf on Sports. This is the Those are the digits. We do want thoughts. We do want opinions. They're welcomed. They're encouraged. You can get in touch with us also by reaching out to us at Twitter by Jeff Rich at Dorf on Sports. And you can check us out even here at Sports Bodyline USA. We've got you covered in all bases. At least we're trying. Jeff, I do want to get into some college football with you. I know you obviously follow it. I follow it. We all follow it. Not many surprises yesterday. I guess you could that Texas A&M and Tennessee game was the one that really caught my eye. I guess Houston going down to Navy is newsworthy, but ultimately we do want to get rid of some of the pretenders and find out who the contenders really are. And I'd have to say that Houston is not a contender. They're a pretender. And that would be obvious after losing to a Navy team. But ultimately, to me, I watched that Tennessee-Texas A&M game. That was fantastic. And I'll tell you what was even more fantastic was the fact that Christian Kirk, a kid out of Arizona, and more notably, the high school where I coach tennis at, Saguaro, that kid made some great plays late in the ball game to help his team to get the victory. So that was the game that stood out to me. I don't know about you.
There's been no consistency at Texas A&M on that on the offensive side of the ball. We know that Kyle Allen left. We know that Kyler Murray left. But Christian Kirk has stuck around, and he's made an impact for Kevin Sumlin's team since the moment he got to College Station. The kid is only a sophomore. He is something to watch. He is a true spectacle, and he really deserves the SEC competition to try to slow him down each and every week. And don't look now, but you've got a serious, serious challenger for the Crimson Tide in the SEC West.
Yeah, no, I would agree 100%. And are you surprised that, look, Tennessee has kind of been playing with fire. Let's be honest, right? You know, they sneak out of a victory last week. I had a weird feeling that they were gonna sneak out of this one. They didn't do it, man. And you know, as they say, sometimes when you play with fire, you get burned. And I'd have to say Tennessee's been playing with fire for a few weeks. They finally got burned.
Well, you know, it took a Leon Lett type of play just to get them back into that game. I mean, this was a game that was 35-21 with like 2 minutes left.
And then the crazy play, the kid knocks the ball out, and then they have a chance to tie it.
Hence the Leon Lett reference. So,
yeah.
You know, if you watch the new SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt, you see the bad beat segment every week. And I'm not sure what the point spread on that was. But for that to even be a game that made it to overtime, took a play like that, took one of those bad beat types of plays. So, it was definitely entertaining on a day that kind of lacked a good game. I think that we expected North Carolina and Mitch Trubisky, after all the hype he's got in the last couple of weeks, to put up a better effort against Virginia Tech. But those games on the Eastern Seaboard were just played in absolute slop. And I don't know if you attempted to watch the Notre Dame NC State game, but Dave Doran's squad there in Raleigh pulls it off. They outlast the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who are on that ACC contract. So they're going to play five ACC games every year, even though they're still independent. And these games are going to be tough because these teams are going to start playing them, especially at home, like conference opponents.
Yeah. Look, it is what it is. These teams make their schedules, and Notre Dame does want to play the best competition. They do want to get their name out there. We all know that, but it is what it is. Hey, let me ask you this. Is Oklahoma finally coming around? I mean, I know they gave up 40 points to Texas, but that's a, you know, obviously a rivalry, and you're kind of going to expect a crazy football game, but have they kind of gotten their swagger back a little bit after beating TCU?
I don't think so. I don't think that there's any Big 12 victory you can hang your hat on this year. I think that they're still reeling from the losses to Houston, who you just said were a pretender because they lost to Navy, and Ohio State. And we know the commodity that Ohio State is, even though they were challenged at home by Indiana on Saturday. I think that Oklahoma could very well be far and away the best team in the Big 12, but I'm not sure how much of a statement that is.
Speaking of teams that are for real, I think I said it last week that I thought maybe, just maybe, Washington is legit and that they are the cream of the crop in the Pac-10, or I'm sorry, the Pac-12. 70-21 over Oregon on the road. Are you starting to buy into Washington a little bit?
I'm definitely buying into Washington, but on the flip side of that, I'm definitely buying into the type of coach that Chip Kelly was. Mark Helfrich has lost this program. Oregon is not in the conversation. And from the looks of things, from what's coming up on the depth chart, from what they've been able to recruit since Chip Kelly left, they may find themselves at the bottom or near the bottom of the Pac-12 North year in and year out, unless they fix this thing quick there in Oregon. But as far as what Peterson's done in year three, he finally has his own guys there in Seattle. I think that Washington is easily the best team in the Pac-12 right now. And, you know, obviously that includes Stanford, who they just curb stomped at home about a week ago.
Well, not only that, it's good that you brought them up, because I was just about to say, Stanford has finally themselves flung up when they lose to Washington State 42-16 at home. I think things are not so great at Stanford right now, and they're trying to figure it out. But truth be told, I don't think they figured it out this year. And I'll tell you what, McCaffrey has had an awful year. And I know the teams are keying on him, but if you're really that special, you've got to be able to make plays. And this kid is not making plays this year.
Well, a year ago, he had a senior quarterback and a guy with a lot of experience in Kevin Hogan. And that's just not there for David Shaw's team at this point in 2016. I think that they're going to get better as the year goes along, but losing to a Mike Leach team at home on the farm there, it doesn't bode well for Stanford. And as a matter of fact, I don't think that there is a playoff team in this country outside of the SEC West and the Big Ten East. I think that, and you know, we're going to see a team from the ACC get in, but I do not expect them to be the last, anybody other than a Big Ten East team or an SEC West team, to be the last man standing when the college football playoff is complete next January.
Well, speaking of that, Florida State and Miami, that was a heck of a football game. 2019, Florida State sneaks out of there on a blocked extra point, and then yeah, obviously they're able to finish the game out. But that was a pretty good football game, and that one got played in Florida. So, and it looked to be – that field looked okay to me, to be honest with you.
Well, that's an NFL stadium, so they're gonna be able to prepare that field a lot better. And the weather, you know, the weather on Thursday night actually took a turn up the coast and kind of spared South Florida. So we knew that game wasn't going to be affected by weather during the game, but we weren't sure the field conditions. Everything looked okay, except the play of this second tier in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I think that conference has already been won. fun. I think that Clemson-Louisville was the best game that we're going to get, the best two teams that we're going to get. And Miami had a chance to put themselves in the conversation, but they've lost to a Florida State team that hasn't been ultra competitive so far this year.
No, and I agree with that. But with that being said, maybe this helps Florida State get their mojo back a little bit. We know they had a crushing loss against North Carolina on that 54-yard field goal that the kid made. And then North Carolina follows that up and gets manhandled by Virginia Tech. So, you know what? It's football. There's not necessarily a rhyme or reason for what happens, but ultimately it does get decided out on the field. So we're seeing it, man. And at the end of the day, I'm thinking Michigan. I'm thinking Ohio State. I'm thinking Alabama. And I'm thinking Clemson at this point anyways. But obviously, we do still have some time left to see what happens. But a lot can happen. And anyways, we got to take a quick pause for the cause. John Poulter, our professor of sports, on the other side. We're going to talk about some Major League Baseball. Keep it close. He's Jeff Rich. I am the Dorf Man. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices. Prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest selection of music gear on earth at guitarcenter.com. Over the years, we've witnessed numerous genres colliding with rock music to create unique tracks consisting of a hybrid of sounds, but none quite so impactful or unlikely as that of Aerosmith's collaboration with Run DMC for their seminal version of Walk This Way. Join me at focusonrock.com, where I look at that special moment in music history when rap and electric guitars entwined and cultural worlds collided.
Your music can take you anywhere you want to go. And Guitar Center is the best place to start the journey. Save up to 25% on over 200,000 guitars, amps, and accessories from major brands. Get an Epiphone Limited Edition Les Paul for just $399, an Ibanez Electric for $249, a Yamaha Dreadnought Acoustic Electric for $199, or D'Addario Strings 3-packs for $10. Where will your new guitar take you? Guitarathon is going on now at Guitar Center.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me, as he is each and every week. You can get involved, 1-800-878-7529. Those are digits. Hit us up on Twitter at by... Jeff, at Dorf on Sports. Check us out. Again, lots of things going on in the sports world. So whatever's on your mind is on our mind. Could be basketball, could be baseball, could be football. Speaking of which, NBA basketball is back. They're playing. They're warming up anyway, if you will. But let's bring in our professor of sports, none other than John Poulter. John, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Doing very well, thanks. 52 degrees, blustery, long weekend, Thanksgiving in Canada, so a sign that fall is here, which means postseason baseball.
Yeah, and strangely enough, those Toronto Blue Jays are really taking it to the Texas Rangers thus far.
Yeah, let's not run before we can walk, though. We have to keep in mind that we saw the exact opposite situation 12 months ago where Toronto had home field advantage. Texas came into Toronto, won two games, and then the Blue Jays went back to Texas, won two, came home, and won game five. So although I'd much rather see my team up 2-0 coming home than down 2-0 going on the road, I got to keep in mind that strange things do happen. It's baseball. You can watch 1,000 baseball games and you can see 1,000 different things and 1,000 different outcomes. So not counting my chickens by any stretch of the imagination, but I think if you talk to John Givens or any member of the Blue Jays organization, they'll tell you the same thing. They're not home free by any stretch of the imagination. Texas did not have the best record in the American League for no reason at all. And, you know, much better to be in that shape than the shape they were in last year. So keep our fingers crossed.
Hey, John, let me just tell you that it warms my heart. It absolutely warms my heart to see Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins find immediate success up there north of the border. But, hey, we're seeing some great play, which is to be expected from Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion throughout these playoffs. You know that at the end of the year, you're probably only going to be able to keep one if you can keep either one of them. Are the play of these guys, as good as it is, maybe pricing Toronto out of the market to retain their own superstars when it's all said and done?
Yeah, very likely. I think we've seen that scenario with Encarnacion most of the season, tied for the lead in RBIs in the American League with 127 over the regular season. I would personally prefer to see them sign Encarnacion. I just think right now he's a better player, both on the field and off the field in terms of his approach. However, I think that Bautista, with that silly salary demand that he had in spring training, turned an awful lot of people off, but I think he also put a bit of a bounty on his head because he sort of put pressure on himself to perform and get the ludicrous contract that he was asking for, which I believe was 7 years at $30 million, something silly like that. He hasn't had a very good year. He spent a fair amount of time on the disabled list. His defensive skills have clearly deteriorated quite a bit, actually. I mean, you now see him replaced for defensive purposes in the ninth inning by Carrera. 2 years ago, we would never have seen that. I almost get the feeling that he's not going to get the dollars he wanted. He may find himself having to accept a one-year qualifying offer and roll the dice that he's going to have a great year next year and then cash in the way that he would like to cash in. But I think there's a very good possibility that both of them will be gone, and I think it's a very remote possibility that we'll see either one of them in the lineup next year. So yeah, it's put up or shut up time for both of those guys.
Are you going to the game today, John?
No, I'm not. It's a family Thanksgiving in Canada is much like Thanksgiving in the U.S. It's a time for families, so we're getting our family together, and that's how we will spend Thanksgiving. But believe me, when 7:30 Eastern comes around, I'll either have the game on the radio or on the television, keeping my eye on it. Not something I want to miss. The nice thing is that even if the Blue Jays lose, there's a ball game tomorrow, so they won't get eliminated today, and they have Aaron Sanchez going for them tonight, which you have to think gives them a small advantage, at least on paper.
Yeah, Sanchez and Lewis going tonight, so it should be an interesting matchup. Let's keep it moving, but kudos to you and congratulations so far. Again, we don't want to get caught speeding, but looks like Toronto is playing very good at this point. Another team playing very well at this point. Let's just keep this thing rolling and keep both you guys happy. Cleveland up 2-0 on Boston. I'm not that surprised, man. I really feel like there's something magical about Cleveland this year. It started with LeBron. It's going to keep going with the Indians and obviously forget about the Browns. But ultimately, these are your two teams that have a legitimate shot at winning championships. And right now, the Indians looking very good against the Boston Red Sox, up 2-0. Jeff, let's start with you. How you feeling?
I feel pretty good. You know, this team knew that they were going to have a couple of cards against them. They knew that Corey Kluber was coming off the quad injury. They knew that they weren't going to have Carlos Carrasco, whose hand is in a cast after being broken by a line drive that he had an unfortunate run-in with in the month of September. So they're going with Josh Tomlin in Game 3, but he's going up against Clay Buchholz, even though the game's at Fenway. Buchholz has been very vulnerable. It's kind of funny when you look back at how hot Justin Masterson and Buchholz were way back in the day, and now they're, you know, Masterson's gone. And we're trying to hang on with Clay Buchholz there. So I like the Indians lineup. I like that they've been able to figure out Boston pitching. And I think that you don't see Terry Francona's expertise in a game-to-game basis, but you see how well-prepared they are. You see how loose they are. And I think that that speaks well for them going into Game 3 and, you know, with all, you know, God willing, into the League Championship Series.
Yeah, I can't say I disagree with you, Jeff. I think that perhaps there's a bit of a missing factor here, and perhaps it's the emotional issue. I don't see the Red Sox going out in three straight games with one game at Fenway Park, and I certainly don't see them giving up in what potentially is David Ortiz's last game. I kind of see the Red Sox winning tonight in a tight one, and I see the Indians wrapping it up tomorrow. Boston has been such a streaky team all year. They've gone through several spells where they've won, you know, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 12, 12 out of 15. Then they've gone through two or three spells where they've won 3 out of 10, 4 out of 12, that kind of stuff. Are they in that little bottom-out period now? They probably are. Clearly the Cleveland pitching staff had their number while the two games were in Cleveland. And it's kind of interesting when we look at these two American League series. In some respects, they're very similar. In some respects, they're very different. In one series, we've had two home wins. In the other, we've had two road wins. But in both series, we've had one blowout game, and we've had one very tight game. So I think that sort of tells us how tight that whole postseason is in both leagues, but perhaps closer in the American League than it appears to be shaping up in the National League. But like me, I'm sure that you think from your team's standpoint, you'd much rather be up 2-0 than down 2-0. So it's kind of nice to have those two games to play with if they're needed.
Hey, John, real quickly, Dodgers and Nationals, obviously they got postponed, but the Dodgers are up 1-0, and then the Cubs are up 2-0 on the Giants. We've only got a couple minutes left to kind of nail both of these, but Dodgers and Nationals, what are you thinking on this one?
I guess it was an interesting game from the standpoint that Kershaw has had some postseason difficulties, but he certainly appeared to lick that problem in Game 1 on Friday. I think what's going to happen in that series is kind of going to be a little bit of a challenge for both teams because they're playing this afternoon in Washington, and then they immediately have to fly to L.A. They've lost the travel day, and that's the one series that probably needed the travel day more than the others. And Washington, of course, has spent Scherzer, their best pitcher. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Tanner O'Rourke to go out there and throw well today. And going to the Cubs series, two really good games. Had a chance to watch both of them on TV. The one, the Cubs seem to be living up to the hype that they got in preseason. And it's certainly a lot of things going right for them. I don't want to say that the word is lucky. I almost feel that the gods are watching over them right now because their starting pitcher gets hurt in the game. They bring in a relief pitcher, comes up to bat the next inning, hits a home run. It's kind of the stuff that movies are made of. But the Cubs are playing very well, and I still don't count the Giants out. But again, if I were the Cubs, I'd rather be up 2-0 going to San Francisco than down 2-0 or split 1-1. So I think that series is still going to get interesting.
Are you surprised that these series haven't been knotted up 1-1 or that teams are – that the road teams have been kind of taking advantage in the earliest part?
Yeah, I have been surprised, especially in the Blue Jays series, because going into Texas, the Blue Jays faced the two best Texas pitchers in Hamels and Darvish, excuse me, and I would have expected and been happy, quite frankly, with the Blue Jays to come out of that two-game set in Texas at 1-1 and coming home with a chance to sweep and therefore win the series in four games. So, yeah, I've been surprised by that. The Cleveland series didn't really surprise me because, like you, I just think Cleveland's a good team top to bottom. We've talked several times about the strength of that pitching staff. We all know how strong pitching is in baseball and specifically in the postseason.
Hey, John, we hear the music. Means we got to get the heck out of Dodge. Appreciate you taking time out with us, and can't wait to talk to you next week.
Yeah, my pleasure as always. And one last point for our American listeners. Please don't think that Toronto's a bad spot. That idiot that threw the beer can, that is a one-off. It's not something we see every day at the stadium. So please
very
don't
good.
Judge all of us on that.
Very good. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Mile on USA Radio Network.
There comes a time in most projects where some type of glue is called for. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about which one to use and when right after this.
Fall means cooler temperatures, beautiful colors, and long hours of raking leaves. Until now, introducing the new Dual Tine Leaf Rake from Ames. With a double row of tines and clog-free design, it rakes up to 45% faster than standard rakes, making leaf raking easier than ever. It even comes with a detachable hand rake for cleaning under shrubs and in tight spaces. The Ames Dual Tine Leaf Rake. Leaves hate it, you'll love it. Available now at the Home Depot and other fine retailers.
The right glue for the project at hand makes a difference, so here's some of the ones you'll need around your house. Yellow and white glues are much like the ones you used in school. They're mainly used for woodworking and are available for interior use as well as moisture-resistant and waterproof versions. Epoxy glues provide an extremely durable, waterproof bond for many materials, including wood, metal, glass, stone, and certain plastics. It comes in two parts, which produce a chemical reaction when mixed together, so it's great for filling up gaps. Contact cement is used mainly to glue plastic laminates and veneers. You roll or brush the adhesive on both surfaces and allow it to dry before carefully bringing the two pieces together. The cement bonds on contact, so you have to get it right the first time. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
How fast are Allegra gel caps? It's raking the leaves and loving it fast. How strong are Allegra gel caps?
I'm running with my favorite workout partner, Strong.
Non-drowsy Allegra gel caps give you noticeable relief of your toughest allergy symptoms. It starts working in just 1 hour, two times faster than Claritin's first dose, and stays strong for 24 hours.
It's saying yes to pick up football with the guys strong.
Allegra gel caps. Nothing's faster, nothing's stronger. Among OTC oral antihistamines. Use only as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Lots going on in the sports world, whether it's baseball, Major League Baseball postseason, playoff action, NFL, NBA basketball. You haven't heard me say that in a while, but those guys are back. They're running up and down the floor like deers. And Speaking of deers, you better fear the deer, the Milwaukee Bucks. But college football is also happening, and we're lucky enough to have Seth Marenbloom join us right now to talk to us. Seth, good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
You know, I always enjoy talking to you about what's going on in college football. And things are starting to settle down to a certain degree. We're starting to find out who those pretenders are and who the contenders really are. And obviously, we saw one of those pretenders go down on Saturday, and that was Houston playing Navy. And we're just kind of weeding through those pretenders and contenders thus far. And I mean, look, this could all change, but to me, it's Michigan, it's Ohio State, it's Alabama, and it's Clemson. Those are the teams to me that seem to stand out of everybody throughout the whole entire country. How about your thoughts?
Those are my thoughts exactly. I tweeted that out pretty much verbatim this morning. The teams that are the best right now, in my opinion, are Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, and Michigan. And after those four teams, who knows? I mean, after those four teams, they're either not entirely proven to me, like Washington. I don't think they've really played anybody yet, you know, or you know, they're just have such question marks next to them, you know, like, you know, say Tennessee, also A&M there in there as well, that, you know, on just about any given Saturday, they could beat just about anybody in that best of the rest or lose to just about anybody in that best of the rest category.
You're listening to the voice of Seth Marenbloom from CampusPressBox.com. Seth, you know, I know that we get together and talk about the games that are played on Saturday, but let me ask you about a game that wasn't played between LSU and Florida that looks like it's going to have even more of an impact on the SEC East race, especially given that Tennessee lost to an interdivision opponent in Texas A&M on Saturday. It almost feels like that game is going to have to be made up unless you want Florida to either miss out or win the SEC East by a half a game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people bungled this situation with Florida and LSU game, you know, with Hurricane Matthew bearing down. I mean, they could have made a decision very early in the week, but they chose, you know, the SEC office and Commissioner Sankey allowed the decision to be pushed off until essentially the last minute on Thursday. And then, you know, Florida Athletics Director Jeremy Foley, he didn't come out of this looking particularly good in my opinion. You know, I didn't have a problem with the game not being played. I know everyone's saying, but look, nothing really happened. Well, that's hindsight, you know, but what I do have a problem with is people are just being reluctant to make a decision on when this game is going to be played again.
That's interesting. They don't have a timetable for when the games are to be played?
It doesn't sound like it. At halftime of the Tennessee-Texas A&M game, the CBS had Greg Sankey on for a little phone interview with Gary Danielson and Vern Lundquist. And he basically said they intend to play it again. Not again. They intend to play the game at some point, but at this point in time, there is so much tension between LSU and Florida that, I don't know, they essentially need a marriage counselor mediator, I think, to sit down with them and to find some common ground on it. I was definitely surprised at what Sankey was saying, because to me, as commissioner of the SEC, it's his job to get this worked out.
Seth, is it the obligation of Florida and LSU to buy out of their games on November 19th versus Presbyterian for Florida versus South Alabama for LSU, both games that have a viable financial option to buy out. We heard Foley say that it's not about the money, but it is for LSU potentially about playing three straight road games and losing that home game that they count on the revenue from against South Alabama there in late November when the SEC tends to play their cupcake games.
You know, Jeff, all of those are great points. But at this point in time, I think that buying out those games against Presbyterian and South Alabama on November 19th is, in all likelihood, the best and most realistic option. And I would hope that with LSU, given the fact that, basically that entire area is, lives below sea level, and they're no stranger to dealing with hurricanes and tropical storms, I would hope that LSU and their leadership would be sympathetic towards this situation. I wrote an article that was very critical of Florida and Jeremy Foley, but as we move forward, LSU has an opportunity to show some humanity with this, and to say, hey, the humanity aspect of this trumps and is more important than the dollar signs. And I hope they do that. And if they don't, then I think it will be fair to levy some criticism their way as well.
I have to think that is exactly what's going to happen. They're going to pay the money to those schools, and they're going to play that game that week, because it just makes sense, to be honest with you. No offense to those other schools, but it's obvious that the Florida LSU football game has a lot more meaning and significance than those meetings that they're going to have with those other schools, other than the money aspect. So I think your point is pretty well taken, Seth. Hey, let me throw this out there, because you mentioned we both are on the same page about who the best four teams are in the country, at least at this point in time. Although I do have to say I am very high on a team that is on the outside looking in, and I think they are the cream of the crop in the Pac-12, and I think I even said it last week, and that's Washington. Look, I know they beat Oregon, and Oregon isn't the same, but they put up 70 points. They did it on the road. I'm starting to buy into Washington to a certain degree. Are you buying into them at all, Seth?
I'm starting to, because, I mean, when you put 70 points on any team, you're doing an awful lot of things right. And when you put 70 points on a team in their house, you're doing even more things right. Like a lot of people, I have a difficult time trusting the Pac-12. That's my bias. Admittedly, that's my bias. But yes, I'm starting to buy into Washington, but not to the degree that I am willing to instill my confidence in them the way I have those other four teams.
Speaking of 70 points, Michigan puts up 78 in Piscataway, actually playing a road game for the first time this season. They're off next week. They are that team other than Ohio State, but when you look in between the present and that November 26th date at Ohio Stadium, you see at Michigan State, you see at Iowa, but given the way that Indiana's played thus far, giving Ohio State a lot of what they could handle in Columbus on Saturday and beating Michigan State in East Lansing, is Indiana perhaps the toughest game that Michigan's going to have before Ohio State, or do you still have a little bit of confidence in Iowa and Michigan State to hold serve at home against this Michigan team?
I don't think those teams are going to hold serve against,
yeah, me
against
neither.
Michigan, even at home. But I think that those teams stand a greater chance of providing Michigan with a decent game than I than I think Indiana will, because I think Indiana's disadvantage was they got to play Ohio State before Michigan and played as well as they did against Ohio State. So based on that, I don't see them sneaking up on Michigan the way that maybe they did against Ohio State. I know Urban Meyer had a lot of great things to say about Indiana's defense going into this game. So, you know, Indiana was certainly on Urban Meyer's radar to a large extent, you know, but being on the head coach's radar and having the actual players, you know, take that team just as seriously when they're named Indiana isn't the same thing.
Hey, let me ask you this, Seth. Looking at Alabama, and I mean, look, they win 49-30 against Arkansas, but I'm kind of a little bit concerned if I'm Saban and the boys, because you gave up 400 yards passing to Austin Allen. He goes for 3 touchdowns, and they put 30 points up on you. Is there any reason for them to be concerned a little bit?
I'm going to sound like a bit of an Alabama apologist with my answer. No, I don't think there's room for a lot of concern. Austin Allen, he's a tough little quarterback, and he's a really good quarterback, I think. I mean, probably one of the better quarterbacks that Alabama is going to play this year. So there's that part of it. The other part of it is, you know, I watched that game, and it seemed like that Austin Allen and that Arkansas offense got a lot or a significant part of their yardage in garbage time. You know, after, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick wasn't in the game for Alabama anymore, and, you know, they had, you know, some more of their scrubs in the game. You know, and yeah, they gave up 30 points to Arkansas, but what they were doing to a really good Arkansas offensive line really, really impressed me. And I think Tennessee's offensive line should be a bit scared going into next weekend.
Hey, real quick before we get out of here, Thursday, November 17th in Houston, the Cougars host the Louisville Cardinals. How did Saturday's loss to Navy affect that game's magnitude going forward?
I mean, I think it potentially affects that game, you know, a lot. You know, if, you know, I expect Louisville to remain in the hunt for the ACC. They lost to Clemson. It was a great game, you know. So a lot of things can happen. You know, Clemson I think still has to play Miami. I mean, there's some good football being played in the ACC. You know, so if Louisville finds a way of jumping back in this thing, and they beat Houston, well, now that Houston has that loss to Navy, that a potential Louisville win over Houston doesn't look as good as it did, and perhaps that negatively affects them when it comes time to decide who those four playoff teams are.
All right, that's been the voice of Seth Marenbloom. Seth, thank you for joining us from the Campus Press Box each and every week as you do.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, one last segment coming up here on Dorf on Sports. I'm Jeff Rich. This is Dorf on Sports, and you're listening to the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at
at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Final segment of this hour here on Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me, as he is each and every week. Got to thank Seth Merenbloom for joining us from Campus Press Box. Be sure to check him out. Does a great job for us, and I'm sure does a great job for Campus Press Box as well. Hey, Jeff, only a couple of minutes left here, and we haven't really spoken much about this, but NBA basketball is back in full throttle as they are playing those preseason games and getting warmed up for the regular season. I'm excited, man. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Look, Durant goes to the Warriors. LeBron gets the championship last year. I'm really excited to see what's to come for this year in the NBA. I really am.
You know, I'm not with you on that. I think that 82 games is a long time to wait to play games that count. And I think that there's so little parity. I think there's a little more in the West than the East. But I think you're going to have a hard time getting me to sit down and watch a Suns-Nuggets game on a Tuesday night in December.
But will you have a hard time, maybe, as Steve Nash alluded to, watching this Golden State Warrior team play and maybe watching the best basketball team we've ever seen play in the NBA? And that's coming from a guy like Steve Nash. That's pretty high praise.
Well, we just got to see the best team of all time win 73 games a year ago, even though they blew a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals. I'm sure we got a lot more coming up next hour, though.
Yeah, we do. We've got a ton coming up. But look, bottom line is when you put Durant and those other three guys together, you got yourself a heck of a basketball team. That's all I can say. And I'm excited to see what they bring to the NBA in 2016-17. Anyways, keep it close. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorfman. We'll be back with hour number two on the horizon. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.